Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. It is described how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in his ecstatic mood of devotional service, would see Sri Jagannath Puri as Vrindavan Dham. When he saw the Chatak Parvat, he saw Govardhan Hill, began running toward it, and fell in a state of ecstatic trance. On the full moon night of the autumn season, he and his devotees were wandering through the various gardens of Puri, and they were singing the beautiful songs explaining Krishna's Ras Lila and the Ras Purnima. Suddenly Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw the sea. With his loving eyes he saw the sea as the river Jamuna. And in great love he ran swifter than the wind and jumped into the ocean. None of his devotees even know that he had left until after some time. In great anxiety, they began to search everywhere for Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but they could not find him. He was already floating deep in the ocean. The devotees divided in different groups, looking in all directions. Perhaps he went to the Singhadwaram, or maybe he went to Chatak Parvat. Perhaps he went along the seashore. Maybe he went to the temple of the sun god in Konark. They were searching everywhere, but they could not find him. In the morning, they all met together, and they considered, perhaps the Lord of our life has disappeared. The devotees were about to give up their own lives in the feelings of separation from the Lord. In this state, hope against hope, they looked, they searched. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, throughout the entire night, was in the ocean. Not swimming, but in a totally unconscious internal state. He was completely absorbed in inner meditation on Krishna's Leela in Vrindavan. And his body became filled with ecstatic symptoms and utterly inactive in the sense that he forgot he even had such a body. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, sometimes he was deep under the water. Other times the waves would bring him up and he would float on top of the water. He was like a piece of dead, dry wood, just floating around in the ocean throughout the night. Swarup Damodar Goswami and some of his companions, hope against hope, were walking along the seashore. They happened to see a fisherman. The fisherman was weeping and crying and dancing and jumping and constantly chanting, Hari, 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 Hari. This was certainly a clue. Swarup Damodar Goswami asked him, what have you seen? He said, oh, don't ask this question. I am a fisherman. Every night I go with my net to catch fish. Last night I caught this beautiful golden fish, what I thought it was. When I came to touch it, to take it out of the net, just by touching, all of a sudden, tears started flowing from my eyes, my hairs began to stand on end, my limbs began to tremble, my voice became choked up. I believe this is a very, very dangerous type of ghosts that have entered into this body. And what type of body was it? I have never seen such a thing. This ghost, he's over 9 feet long. And all of his limbs, the joints of those limbs are separated. Where are the joints in your limbs? That means so many joints in your fingers, in your wrists, in your elbow, in your shoulder, in your waist, in your neck, in your knees, in your ankles, in your toes. So many joints on the body. Each and every joint was dislocated from the other half of it, and there was 6 inches of hanging flesh between one half of the joint and the other. And this ghost is making very, very strange sounds like gong, gong. Very fearful. Being a fisherman at night, I know how dangerous it could be. So I chant the Nrsimha Mantra. By chanting this Nrsimha Mantra, I have never undergone any difficulty or fear. Nrsimha Dev always protects me. But this ghost is so powerful. When I chant Nrsimha's mantra, the power of how he overcomes me doubles. Swarup Damodar Goswami said, please take me. No, you should not go if you even see him. He will possess you also. I have a wife. I have children. I have so many responsibilities. At this very time, I am searching for an exorcist, someone who can take this ghost out of me. Swarup Damodar Goswami said, I am a very famous exorcist. He placed his hand on the head of this fisherman and chanted some mantras. Then he slapped him in the face and said, now the ghost is gone. Nothing to fear. That is not a ghost. That is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The fisherman said, I know Lord Gauranga. I have seen him many times, but he does not look like this. Swarup Damodar Goswami said, but sometimes in his ecstasies of devotional service, he becomes like this. Please take us to him. All the way toward the Konark Surya Mandir, Mahaprabhu floated all night. When they came, they saw him laying in the sand. His limbs, joints were dislocated. His body was elongated. Because he was in the ocean all night, his complexion was bleached white like a conch shell. And his hairs were all scraggled. And his body, there was eruptions. His limbs were trembling. And his whole body was completely covered head to toe with sand. The devotees almost left their bodies when they saw him in this condition lying there. So the devotees first bathed him with water from the sea. Then they began to loudly chant Hare Krishna Mahamantra.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
They chant it for a long time. And ultimately, Lord Chaitanya, body came back together, and he said, Hari Bol. He looked around one direction to another. Where have you taken me? What happened? Swarup Damodar explained how they were searching for him all night. Lord Chaitanya said, I was in Vrindavan on the bank of the holy river Jamuna, and there I saw Radha and Krishna along with the gopis performing wonderful, wonderful water sports, laughing and playing together. Then they came out and were given fresh garments, and they were brought into a nice part of the forest where there was a beautiful bower, and the gopis presented so many varieties of fruits and sweetmeats for Radha and Krishna to enjoy. And then they put them in a beautiful bed of forest flowers. And we were singing and fanning. And then I heard this tumultuous sound. Why have you brought me here? Lord Chaitanya saw the ocean as Jamuna. And this particular garden that we were sitting in, Jagannath Ballabha Garden, Lord Chaitanya saw this as the forests of Vrindavan. We explained yesterday how he heard all of the birds as non-different from the Sukha and Sari of Vrindavan discussing the glories of Krishna. He heard the bumblebees singing the glories of Krishna's Vrindavan Leela. He saw every tree as one of the Kalpavriksha trees of Braja. He saw the very ground as Chintamani Dham. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spent one entire night just roaming from tree to tree in the mood of the gopis, asking, where is Krishna? Where is the son of Nanda Maharaj? In fact, Krishna revealed himself to him under the Ashoka tree here in Jagannath Ballabha Gardens. Sri Jagannath Puri Dham is one of the greatest of all holy places because it is the eternal abode of Lord Jagannath. A few of our devotees have requested us to speak something about Lord Jagannath. I would love to dedicate this amount of time that we have today to speak something about the glories of Lord Jagannath. In the Skanda Purana, it is explained how this holy place of Jagannath Puri is so very special. It is called Tirtharaj, king of holy places, because one who comes here and performs devotional service gets the credit of performing devotional service in all other holy places. Actually, there's no need to go anywhere else. Jagannath Puri is perfect and complete. All the holy places are included in Jagannath Puri in this sense. Skanda Purana describes that Purushottam Kshetra is 80 miles long. It extends from Ekamravan, which is Bhuvaneshwar, all the way to Konark, where the Sun Temple is. In the very middle is a beautiful blue mountain named Nilachala. And that is the home of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who appears as Lord Jagannath. Skanda Purana describes on the full moon night of the month of Jyeshta, Lord Jagannath, Balaram, and Subhadra celebrate the Snan Yatra. The Snan Yatra is the appearance day of Lord Jagannath. One may ask, how is it that the full moon night of the month of Jyeshta is the appearance day of Krishna? Janmashtami is the eighth day of the moon in the month of Bhadra. Krishna is the son of Devaki and Vasudev. Balaram is the son of Vasudev and Rohini. And Subhadra, the sister of Krishna, is also the daughter of Vasudev and Devaki. So this great mystery begins our narration of the glories of Lord Jagannath. Lord Jagannath appeared in this particular inconceivable form on the day of Snan Yatra. The form where he has big, big round eyes and no legs and no hands. How did this form come about and why? This is described by our great acharyas. That Krishna lived in Vrindavan with Sri Balaram. And there, Krishna and Balaram completely captivated all the inhabitants of Vrindavan with their most attractive, charming qualities. Krishna's beautiful form, his joking nature, his sweet, beautiful pastimes, the sound of his ambrosial flute, the intimacy of how he shows love for his devotees cannot even be found in Vaikuntha. Only in Vrindavan does Krishna appear in such an ecstatic mood of winning the hearts of his devotees in spontaneous love. One day, Akura came from Mathura with the message that King Kamsa was inviting Krishna and Balaram to come for a wrestling tournament and also to see the great festival for the mighty bow that he possessed. All night long, the gopis and gopas were thinking of various ways to somehow or other stop Krishna from going. How can we live if Krishna leaves us? They did not sleep that night. The next morning, as the sun was rising, Krishna Balaram ascended into the chariot of Akrura. The gopis were begging Krishna, helplessly, hopelessly, weeping, crying, praying, laying their bodies in front of the wheels. At that time, Krishna made a promise. I will return very soon. I must perform my duties, and then I promise I will return. That promise gave hope to the heart of the Brijavasis. Krishna went to Mathura. While he was away, the residents of Vrindavan were simply immersed in a deep, deep ocean of separation. This ocean of separation was impossible for them to cross over. They were drowning in that ocean. Weeping, crying, practically unable to do anything. They were all in trance, stupor, just shocked. Krishna has left us. In the material world, when you suffer, after some time, you get used to the suffering. And gradually, you start to forget the suffering, and you preoccupy yourself with other things. When a loved one dies or leaves us or breaks our heart somehow, it's terrible suffering at the beginning. But time heals. Gradually we forget. Gradually we get used to it. Gradually we find something else to put our mind on. But it was just the opposite for the Buddha Bodhisattvas. Every day the separation was becoming more intense. There was no possibility of them preoccupying their mind with anything else but Krishna. They could not forget him, day or night. They were immersed. Krishna is in everyone's heart. Therefore, Krishna, in order to try to pacify the residents of Vrindavan, he called for Uddhava. Uddhava, my devotees, the residents of Vrindavan, especially the gopis, headed by Srimati Radharani, you cannot understand the nature of their love for me. They are simply weeping and crying and thinking of me 24 hours a day in separation. They are in a fever. Their bodies are burning out of love for me. Please go there and give them my message. Actually, in Krishna's heart, he understood Uddhava was his dearest friend. But he didn't understand the real nectar of love of God. He would have to learn that by seeing the quality of the residents of Vrindavan. So, Uddhava came to Vrindavan. Rupa Goswami describes it is called Uddhava Sandesh in his book. Krishna telling Uddhava the message to give to the gopis. Uddhava tried, but was not successful. Later, Krishna moved from Mathura to Dwarka. In Dwarka, he married 16,108 wives. They all became queens. They were all pure, unalloyed devotees. In fact, each and every one of them was an expansion of the goddess of fortune. And how they served him with their life and soul. 24 hours a day, their only meditation was pleasing Krishna. They lived in big, big, beautiful palaces. Krishna expanded himself to live with each one of them, personally. But it is said in the Bhagavad Gita, yeyatamam prabhadyante tam sthitāgapacamyaham manuvartmanuvartante manushya paratasāravasana. That as you approach Krishna, he reciprocates accordingly. The same feelings that the Vrijabhasis were feeling toward Krishna, Krishna was in his heart feeling toward them. The same supreme ecstasy that Srimati Radharani was feeling in her separation from Krishna, hardly able to eat or sleep or do anything but cry the name of Krishna, Krishna felt that same separation from Srimati Radharani. In fact, while he was living in Dwarka, he revealed to Narada Muni and even to his queens at one time that I am only here in my body, but my life is in Vrindavan. I am like a machine moving around here in Dwarka. performing my duties with all of them. But my heart and my life and soul is always meditating on the great, great suffering that the devotees of Vrindavan are experiencing in separation from me. And I feel that same separation from them. Sometimes when Krishna would be sleeping with the queens of Dwarka, all night long he would be calling out, "Oh Radhe, oh Radhe, oh Yashoda Mayi, oh Subal." He would be crying out in separation from them. And the queens were trying to understand, "Why? We are satisfying Krishna in every possible way. Why he's always crying out, Radhe, Radhe, weeping and crying in his sleep?" They could not understand how this is possible. Because in Dwarka, they are in the Aishwarya Ras. They see Krishna as a supreme king, as the Lord. Therefore, they cannot understand the sweetness of the love of the residents of Vrindavan, who simply see Krishna in Satyaras, Vatsalyaras, or Madhuryaras, as a friend, as a son, or lover. So one day, they went to Rohini Devi, the mother of Balaram, because she lived in Vrindavan with Krishna and Balaram all the years that they lived there. When Vasudev was put in the prison at Kamsa with Devaki, he sent his other wife, Rohini, to Vrindavan to be under the care of Nanda Maharaj. So Rohini was living in Vrindavan continuously, from the appearance of Krishna and Balaram all the way until they left for Mathura. The queens, all 16,000 of them, approached Rohini and said, "We cannot understand why Krishna is always chanting the names of Radharani and the devotees of Vrindavan, even though we give everything to him. We want to understand what is this Leela of Vrindavan. Please tell us." Rohini Devi said, "I can tell you, but you will not understand because you are different. Only the Vrijavasis can understand this. However, if you so much insist, I will try to tell you something. However, this Braja Leela Katha is so sweet, it is so full of nectar, that as soon as I start speaking it, Krishna and Balaram, wherever they are, they're going to come here to hear it. And if they come, I will not be able to continue. Everything will be finished." But the queens were so eager to hear. Rohini and the queens decided, someone has to guard the door to make sure Krishna and Balaram does not come to hear. So they selected Krishna's sister, Subhadra. "Subhadra, you stand in the center of the door and stretch both your arms to cover the rest of the doorway. If Krishna and Balaram come, you call out, 'They're coming, they're coming.'" And Rohini will stop speaking. Subhadra was standing, guarding the door. Rohini began to speak about the glories of the pastimes of Vrindavan. As speaking, Subhadra was listening. She was not only guarding, she was also listening. When she heard the nature of the ecstasies of the exchanges between Krishna and the devotees of Vrindavan,
she became completely ecstatic. Her eyes dilated, and her arms and legs entered into her body like a tortoise in ecstasy. And she stood motionless and speechless in this state, hearing this sweet sound vibration. Krishna and Balaram were attracted. They came to that place. They saw Subhadra standing like this. What is this? They heard, "Ah, it is Brajalila." Balaram stood to the right of Subhadra, and Jagannath stood to the left in the doorway, and they both listened. As they heard about the glories of the love of the residents of Vrindavan, Jagannath's eyes began to grow. And then his limbs entered into the body. This was the mood of the ecstasy of his separation from the residents of Vrindavan. There was Balaram, Subhadra, and Jagannath in these most inconceivable forms. At that time, Shrinarada Muni happened to arrive. The Rohini stopped speaking. Krishna, Balaram, and Subhadra manifested their original forms again. But Narada Muni said, "I saw it! I have seen such a form of your ecstatic bliss and separation of Vrindavan. I have seen it with my own eyes. Please grant me this benediction that somewhere on earth you will give this most incredibly merciful darshan to anyone who comes to see you." Lord Krishna said, "I grant you this benediction. In Sri Purushottam Kshetra, I will always be worshipped with my brother and sister in this form. This is the form of Mahabhav Prakash, where I am experiencing the great infinite love of separation from the residents of Vrindavan, and especially from the Queen of Vrindavan, Srimati Radharani." There was another story. Srila Gaura Govinda Maharaj told me this story of how when Krishna was living in Dwarka, he was always in this state of separation from Vrindavan. One time, he was thinking of his eternal pleasure potency, Sri Radharani. He fainted, laying unconscious, apparently lifeless. Uddhava and Narada Muni happened to be coming by and saw him in this condition. They were thinking, "What are we to do to bring him back to consciousness again?" Then Balaram came. The three of them began to discuss that we know Krishna's heart. It is because of his separation from Vrindavan and Sri Radharani and the devotees that he is in this state. So now, Narada Muni, if you just start singing while playing your veena about the beautiful pastimes of Vrindavan, then you will bring Krishna back to his consciousness again. Narada Muni said, "Certainly I can sing." And he will most definitely come back to his external state of consciousness. However, there's a big problem. If I start singing the glories of Vrindavan with my veena, when he comes to consciousness, he's going to immediately want to go to Vrindavan. He will not want to stay here in Dwarka. he should have a chariot ready for him to go directly to Vrindavan. Uddhava said, but if he goes to Vrindavan and he sees how much the Brijabasis for so many long years have suffered, how they're weeping and crying endlessly, then he'll never be able to leave them again. And then he will not come back to Dwarka. So we cannot do that. Narada Muni said, we should send someone. Uddhava, you should go. You should go to Vrindavan and tell them, Krishna's coming, he's on his way. Let us prepare to welcome him. Then they will all be very happy and festive, and they will welcome him with great smiles. He will not have to see their suffering. Uddhava said, yes, you are a great rishi, Vaishnava, and I must follow what you say. But please consider, Krishna sent me to Vrindavan. I stayed there for 3 months with a message from Krishna. But I failed. When I went there, I saw the piteous condition of Mother Yashoda, Nanda Maharaj, and all of the gopis and gopas. They were lifeless practically, only crying, laying on the ground, rolling on the ground, chanting the names of Krishna constantly, speaking the pastimes of Krishna in madness. And my message, did it help them? Did they stop crying? Were they pacified? Not at all. What am I supposed to say? When a person in the material world dies and people are crying, you tell them, this is the nature of this temporary world, everyone dies, so you should not cry. But when they're crying for Krishna, what do you say? I couldn't tell them to forget Krishna. I couldn't tell them, don't cry for Krishna. That would have been an offense. I wanted to tell them, just cry more. And that's just what they did. When I was about to leave, I told Yashoda Mai and the others that I promise you, I will go back to Mathura and I will do everything within my power to get Krishna to come personally back to Vrindavan to visit you. But he never came. If I tell them that Krishna is coming, they will not believe me. So Narada Muni and Uddhava turned to Balaram and said, you should go. Tell them Krishna is coming. Have a festival to welcome him. Balaram said, I could go, but I already went. I stayed 2 months in Vrindavan on Krishna's order. While I was there, I tried to pacify them. But what could pacify a devotee who is in separation from Krishna, except Krishna himself? As I was leaving, I saw their piteous condition of separation. I was crying and weeping to see them. And I told Yashoda Mata and the others that when I go back to Dwarka, I am going to somehow or other do everything I can to make sure that Krishna comes to Vrindavan to see you. And some hope entered into their heart because I spoke these words. When I came back and told Krishna the condition of Radharani and gopis and Yashoda and Nanda and all of our friends, the gopas, Krishna said, I will go. I reminded him, please go, Krishna, I will go. But he never went. If I go and tell them Krishna's coming, they will call me a liar. They will not believe me. Then Balaramji, thinking of the condition of the Brijabasis, he began to cry and cry and cry. At that time, Subhadra came, and she said, I will go. They will believe me, no problem. Get my chariot ready. I will go, and I will sit on Mother Yashoda's lap, and I will say that Krishna Balaram, we all set out together in chariot. However, some great kings on the way wanted to receive them and offer them gifts. But I came ahead so that you could make nice preparations to greet them. And I will come to the gopis, and I will personally, with my own hands, I will wipe away their tears and say, no more need for crying. Krishna's coming! No doubt, Uddhava and Balaram said he was coming, but they are males. And males are by nature a little crooked. But we females, we are very simple. So you can believe me, I am a woman. Believe me, Krishna's coming. Balaram, Narada, and Uddhava all accepted, this is very good. So they had Krishna's chariot ready with Daruka, they had Subhadra's chariot ready. And Balaram said, I am in such separation from Vrindavan, I want to go with Krishna also. So they arranged for Balaram's chariot. Balaram and Subhadra left. Balaram went first, Subhadra second. As they were traveling to Vrindavan, Sri Narada Muni began to sing the beautiful songs of Braja Leela, playing upon his celebrated veena. Krishna, in great ecstatic remembrance of his Vrindavan pastimes, he immediately stood up in his threefold bending form. This threefold bending form is not Krishna's Leela in Dwarka. It is only Vrindavan. He was standing in threefold bending form, but he noticed he didn't have his flute in his hand. Where is my flute? Who has stolen my flute? He started searching everywhere for the flute. Then he met Uddhava. Uddhava, what are you doing in Vrindavan? Where is my flute? Is this Vrindavan? Uddhava explained what his condition. He said, we have a chariot ready for you just now to take you to Vrindavan. Krishna immediately rode upon his chariot. Meanwhile, Subhadra and Balaram arrived in Vrindavan. Balaram first came. When he saw the condition of the residents of Vrindavan, what was the intensity of their love for Krishna? It cannot be found anywhere in all the material or spiritual world. How the devotees were totally drowning in an ocean of separation from Krishna. There was no thought that could possibly enter into anyone's mind for a second except when will Krishna return. There were constant tears in everyone's eyes. Cows, the trees, the grass, the gopas, the gopis, everyone was simply weeping. All the residents of Vrindavan would have died of separation, but Krishna promised, I will return. Year after year after year, that hope kept them alive. When Balaram saw this, his eyes began to grow in great ecstatic amazement. He actually became overpowered by the separation of the devotees. See, his arms and legs entered into his body. And when Subhadra saw the condition of the residents of Vrindavan, the same thing happened to her. She became stunned, motionless, big, big eyes and no hands or feet. How could she go to tell Mother Yashoda anything? Radharani was sitting, laying down in the ground in Nidubhan. She was in so much separation. What can we say? We say separation, but what does that word mean? Words cannot explain. She was in the ultimate ecstasy of separation of the spiritual world. She was laying there breathless. The residents of Vrindavan thought that she is going to leave her body. And as all the devotees love Krishna, similarly the Brijavasis, what is their love for Sri Radharani? So the imminent death of Sri Radharani was on everyone's mind. She was burning from a fever, laying there. Ultimately, Krishna came into Vrindavan, driving on his chariot. And he saw laying there the separation of Sri Radharani. When he saw the nature of her love, he came running down. But as he saw closer, he became completely drowned in that ocean of love. And Krishna, looking at Radharani, his eyes became very, very big, gazing upon her, and his legs and his hands entered into his body like a tortoise. And he stood there, motionless, just looking at Srimati Radharani. At that time, a sweet breeze touched the body of Krishna, and then touched Sri Radharani's body, and that was just the medicine to make her all right. She saw Krishna, but Krishna was still in his state of Jagannath Leela. And gopis on Radharani's instruction began to chant the holy name of Radha into the ear of Krishna. Then he came back to his original form. Krishna told Srimati Radharani that this form of mine that you have seen is the form of my ecstasy of separation from you. And in a place called Purushottam Chaitra, I will appear in this form as wood. And when I incarnate as Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, I will live in Purushottam Chaitra. I will have your inner feelings of devotion and your complexion. And what will our Leela be? This beautiful form of Jagannath will always be immersed in separation of Radharani, and the form of Lord Chaitanya would always be immersed in the separation of Krishna. And I will bring my brother and sister, Subhadra and Balaram, with me, because they helped to bring me here to be reunited with you. And Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, my incarnation, in the separation of Sri Radharani, he will invite all fortunate jivas throughout the entire world to enter into our Vrindavan pastimes through the congregational chanting of the holy names of Krishna. There are many versions of the story of Maharaj Indradyumna, but in summary it is explained how Maharaj Indradyumna was a very great king. He lived in the Satya Yuga. Please know that the Yugas are in cycles. In one sense, Satya Yuga is before Kali Yuga, but then Kali Yuga is before the next Satya Yuga. So, Indradyumna Maharaj is a very, very great devotee, and he would perform much devotional service. He was longing to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It was the only thing on his mind. His kingdom, his family, everything was useless unless he could see the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One day, a Brahmin came to his assembly and told him that I have traveled throughout the length and breadth of Bharatvarsha, and I have seen in a place called Purushottam Kshetra, there is a beautiful blue mountain called Niladri, and there resides the deity of Nilamadhava, who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And anyone who sees him will achieve the perfection of salvation, the love of God. There is no doubt. There's a big banyan tree, and just near that banyan tree there is a kund called Rohini Kund, and I have been told that once a crow came to drink water from that kund, and immediately that crow took a four-armed Vishnu form and ascended to Vaikuntha. This is the power of this great place. In fact, when I was there, I was seeing that all the residents of that place were four-armed forms of the Lord. There is a community of Shabaras, or keepers of pigs, that live close. And they are the ones that are so nicely taking care of the service of Sri Nilamadhava. Every day, Indra and the other demigods come to personally worship and offer gifts to Nilamadhava. If you go to that place, my king, and you see this murti, all of your desires will be fulfilled. You will achieve the perfection of life, as I have, by the mercy of the Lord. So the king sent his very confidential associate and Brahmin priest Vidyapati to go to search for this place. He came to Uttaldesh, which is now Orissa, and there in a forest he became very hungry, and he met Vishvavasu, who offered him fruits and foods. He asked how I can serve you. He said, I have come on behalf of Indradyumna Maharaj looking for the great deity of Nilamadhava. Vishvavasu said, oh, I am worshipping him every day you come. He took him to see the deity of Nilamaya. When Vidyapati saw him, he became so much enwrapped in love and devotion. And then he tasted the nectarine prasad that Nilamadava was given by the demigods. And Vidyapati decided, I will stay here with the Shabaras for the rest of my life. But I must get this message to Maharaj Indrajumna. So he went back to Avanti, the kingdom of Indrajumna Maharaj, and told him, let us go. So Indrajumna Maharaj, his ministers, his soldiers, much of the kingdom, they all boarded chariots, elephants, horses to go on their procession for the darshan of Nilamadava. When they came to Utkal Desh, the king of this province came to greet Maharaj Indrajumna. He said, we are so much honored that you have come and worshipped Indrajumna Maharaj, because he was the emperor of the world. He said, Maharaj, just after Vidyapati left, there was a massive, massive sandstorm. And the whole hill of Nilachala is completely covered. And now so much has grown over it, no one can even get to it. The deity of Nilamadava, the Lord of the universe, the object of all of our love, has disappeared. When King Indrajumna heard this, he became very much devastated. I have missed the goal of my life. But Narada Muni, who was also with him, told the king that the Lord will appear to you, most definitely. He always appears to a devotee who has so much eagerness and love as you. And so they continued their journey, and they went to Ekamravan, or Bhuvaneshwar. There they began to worship the deity of Lingaraj. And Lord Shiva, Mahadev, spoke to Maharaj Indrajumna and Narada Muni. He said, you go to Purushottam Chaitra. First, you carve a deity of Nrsingadev and install him. And then Nilamadava, in his Daru Brahma form, will appear before you. So they came here, and they carved that deity of Lord Nrsingadev. Then, under Lord Shiva's instructions, King Indrajumna performed 999 Ashwamedha Yajnas. He was supposed to perform 1,000. While he was doing the 1,000th Ashwamedha Yajna, he went to the sea to take bath. And there he saw big, big, beautiful logs floating in the ocean with the marks of the kanksha and the chakra. It had been revealed to him in a dream. A voice also spoke that they should carve this in the forms of the deities of Krishna, Balaram, and Subhadra. Vishwakarma appeared in the form of an old sculpture and said, I will carve these deities. However, you have to let me be in seclusion for 15 days. So Indrajumna Maharaj, in great anticipation, was listening as the carving was going on. But after only about a week or so, he did not hear anything. So he was in very much anxiety. He opened the door.
When he opened the door, the sculpture disappeared, and the deities appeared to be very much incomplete. There were no hands and no feet. And Yajumana Maharaj was thinking, what a terrible offense I have made. I promised 15 days I would not disturb him, and due to my uncontrolled mind and senses, I have disturbed him. Now look, after all this trouble, all this praying, after so many lives in this material world, the Lord has not appeared for me. But then the Lord spoke to Indrajumana Maharaj. Actually, some say Narada Muni appeared and told him that actually this is the complete form of the Lord. According to the Upanishads, it says that the Supreme Personality of Godhead has no legs but goes everywhere. He has no hands but he accepts all offerings. And then he also explained the story of what took place in Dwarka and Krishna's benediction that he would appear in this form of separation from Vrindavan. So then Maharaj Indrajumana, in great happiness, installed the deities of Krishna, Balaram, and Subhadra here in Jagannath. Shri Jagannath Swami Ki. King Pratapa Rudra was very, very eager to have the audience of Lord Chaitanya. He was told by the devotees, if you go to see him while he's dancing in kirtan, he'll be in so much transcendental ecstasy that you'll have a darshan that will fulfill all of your desires. So one day Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was dancing and chanting with his devotees. As he was chanting the holy names very, very loudly, tears flowing from his eyes, limbs trembling, hair standing on end, and something very wonderful took place. There was saliva pouring from his nose and mouth and covered his entire body, and that got mixed with the dust of the road as all the devotees were loudly chanting the holy name. King Pratapa Rudra was very, very happy, but at the same time some doubt entered into his mind. Why the Lord was dancing with saliva all over his body? So then he went to sleep. And in his dream, Lord Jagannath appeared. Jagannath Swami Ki! Jagannath started dancing. And King Pratapa Rudra saw from Jagannath's nose and mouth, saliva started pouring out until every single part of his body, each limb, was drenched with liquid from his nose and mouth. And then it mixed with dust. King Pratapa Rudra was thinking, what type of dream is this? Then he went to fall and touch the lotus feet of Jagannath. And as he went to touch, Jagannath said, do not touch me! I am contaminated! Saliva is all over my body. If you touch me, you will become unclean. You are the king. You should not do this. Maharaj Pratapa Rudra said, no, no, I must touch you for my purification. He said, no, you should not touch me. It is not clean. King Pratapa Rudra said, why are you doing this to me? Jagannath said, this afternoon, I appear in my form of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and I was dancing. And the same liquid was covering my whole body as I was dancing, but you did not understand. Then the Lord disappeared. Then Maharaj Pratap Ruja understood, in full realization, that Lord Chaitanya and Lord Jagannath are one and the same. Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu ki. One time there was a celebration, it was called Odana Shasti. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates went to celebrate it in Jagannath Temple. It's a beautiful, beautiful ceremony. They were offering hundreds and hundreds of beautiful cloths to Lord Jagannath, red, yellow, blue, green. They were offering all sorts of flowers, bracelets made of flowers and crowns made of flowers. It's the beginning of the winter season. So they offer Lord Jagannath some starch clothing. So after the ceremony, there was the bhoga offering, hundreds and hundreds of delicious preparations. Then there was the aarti. After seeing this wonderful festival, the devotees, fully satisfied, went with Lord Chaitanya back to Gambira. He said, I am now taking rest. You all return to your homes and we will meet at Jagannath's temple tomorrow morning. So all the devotees went to their respective places. However, Pundarik Vidyanidhi and Swarup Damodar Goswami stayed. Pundarik Vidyanidhi spoke what was in his heart. Today was a very beautiful festival, but why did they offer Jagannath garments with starch not washed out of it? It is the civilized thing to do, that new clothes that has starch in it, you must wash it before you wear it. Because starch is contaminated. They should not offer contaminated things to Lord Jagannath. Why have they done? Swarup Damodar Goswami said, if Lord Chaitanya is willing to accept it, then why should we criticize? Why should we find any fault in this festival? It was a wonderful festival. This is how they have been doing it, by tradition, for many ages. Pundarik Vidyanidhi replied that Lord Jagannath could do anything. He is above rules and regulations. But his servants shouldn't do anything. They should do everything that's proper. If you touch a starched garment that has not been washed, you have to immediately wash your hands, otherwise you are considered contaminated. Would they take rough, starched, unwashed garments and put it on the head of our king? Why are they offering it to Jagannath? Swarup Damodar Goswami said that this festival Lord Jagannath enjoys, he is above all these rules and regulations, we should simply accept it. Pundarik Vidyanidhi said, yes, yes, actually it is a very nice festival. Then he went to take rest. In a dream, he saw Balaram and Jagannath approaching him in a very angry mood. Then with their hands, both Balaram and Jagannath simultaneously began to slap his face with their hands. In fact, they slapped him again and again. They were beating his face. Pundarik Vidyanidhi began to call out, my Lord, I'm sorry. What offense have I committed that you are beating me like this? Please, be merciful to me. Please, have mercy. They continued to slap him and slap him and slap him. And they had rings on their fingers. Jagannath said, your offenses have no end. You have come to this town of Puri and you are simply ruining your spiritual life by coming here, by making offenses.
better you leave this place. You did not like my festival. You worship me as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then you find faults and criticize my servants. Pundarika Janidhi began to cry out in great love, begging forgiveness. And Lord Jagannath and Balaram told him that we will forgive you. And Pundarika Janidhi said, "You are so merciful. You are so merciful that you have come to punish me for my offense. This is your love for your devotee. When you punish your devotee, that is your inconceivable, all-merciful love." Then Balaram and Jagannath smiled at him, and he saw them walking back to the temple. When Pundarika Janidhi woke up the next morning, he saw big, big, swollen cheeks. And he was in ecstasy. Then he went to the Jagannath temple with Swarup Damodar Goswami. Swarup Damodar Goswami said, "Why are you late today? And what happened to your cheeks?" He said, "The Lord did not like me criticizing the servants yesterday for putting starched garments on Jagannath. So he and Balaram slapped me with rings on their fingers. This is what happened." Swarup Damodar Goswami began to laugh. He said, "No one is more fortunate than you. Never have I ever heard of a dream so auspicious as this, where the Supreme Personality of Godhead personally comes to punish his servant." So from this wonderful story, many things could be understood. One is how we should not judge devotees by our material conceptions. Because sometimes a devotee may not always do something exactly according to how we... And we may instruct that devotee of what the proper standards are, but we should never judge that devotee's character. Because if a devotee is doing with sincerity to please the Lord in devotion, if we criticize the character of that devotee, we may commit a great offense. We should see the good in Vaishnavas. We should see the intent as much more prominent than the procedure. Srila Prabhupada, when he saw even the slightest good intention in a devotee, he would very much encourage and glorify that. And of course, he would teach us the proper procedures. But at the same time, prominent over all is to respect and appreciate the devotee's desire to serve. And also how Pundarika Vidyanidhi, he accepted punishment of the Supreme Personality of Godhead as an expression of the Lord's great love. No doubt when we make mistakes, when we make offenses, Krishna will definitely punish us, some way or other. But when that comes, we should understand it is his love to help to teach us to become better devotees. And thus a devotee reciprocates, not by complaining or losing faith, but by appreciating the mercy of the Lord and striving and struggling to improve one's character, improve the quality of one's service, the pleasure of the Lord. Thank you very much.